Brothers and sisters, invite you to open the Bibles where we will read of two passages of the New Testament from a sermon prepared by Reverend Huck from Busselton. Firstly, Luke 22, verses 14 through to 23, where we read about the institution of the Lord's Supper. Luke 22, verse 14. Where God speaks to us and says, when the hour had come, he, Christ, and the 12 apostles with him, then he said to them, with fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. So far from Luke, and then we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. So far the Bible reading, and then we will turn to the text, which is Lord's Day 28, three questions and answers. Lord's Day 28, question answer 75. How does the Lord's Supper signify and seal to you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his gifts? In this way, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup in remembrance of him. With this command, he gave these promises. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup given to me, so surely was his body offered for me and his blood poured out for me on the cross. Second, as surely as I receive from the hand of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and the cup of the Lord as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, So surely does he himself nourish and refresh my soul to eternal life with his crucified body and shed blood. What does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink his shed blood? First, to accept with a believing heart all the suffering and death, the death of Christ, and so receive forgiveness of sins and life eternal. Second, to be united more and more to his sacred body through the Holy Spirit, who lives both in us, in Christ and in us. Therefore, although Christ is in heaven and we are on earth, yet we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones, and we forever live and are governed by one Spirit, as the members of our body are by one soul. Where has Christ promised that he will nourish and refresh believers with his body and blood as surely as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? In the institution of the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This promise is repeated by Paul when he says, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." As an Amen song, we will sing of hymn 51 following this sermon. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, did you enjoy the last Lord's Supper celebration a number of weeks ago on the 4th of February? Celebrating the Lord's Supper is always a festive and comforting moment on our Sunday to Sunday journey as Christ's congregation towards his coming. However, on a practical level, the table in the front of the church, covered with its white tablecloth, usually evokes quite a bit of emotion. Unfortunately, not everyone experiences feelings of awe and happiness. Not all members are looking forward to the Lord's Supper Sundays. Those, especially the young ones, could dread the celebrations, asking, "Do we have Lord's Supper again?" Even some attending the table could be less enthusiastic. This is not always because of their indifference, but because of a certain measure of embarrassment with celebrating this sacrament. Because every Lord's Supper reminds them of unsolved family issues or broken relationships with others that seem impossible to restore. Some may struggle with a particular sin which they cannot manage to break with completely. The frequency of our celebrations may also cause lack of joy, but celebrating it only 6 times a year also has an advantage. Everyone then realizes the uniqueness and the sanctity of this sacrament, where the focus is on proper self-examination, the visible signs, and the unique nature of the service. On the other hand, If we could celebrate it every month, one would have to try to experience it as a joyful feast. Lord's Supper celebration remains a controversial topic, yet it also remains a true celebration. Bread and wine, the table gospel, is a gospel of joy. But why is it such a delight? And how can we experience this joy in the table gospel even more? Let us find answers as I preach to you God's word, as we confess it in Lord's Day 28 under the theme, The Joy of the Table Gospel. It results from the remembrance of our Saviour's death, the unity with our Saviour and his body, and third, the expectation of his return. So the joy of the table gospel, it results from, firstly, the remembrance of our Saviour's death. Brothers and sisters, our confession deals with this sacrament in three Lord's Days, namely Lord's Day 28, 29 and 30. Lord's Day 28 focuses on the celebration itself. Next week, in Lord's Day 29, we will go deeper into the presence of Christ in the sacrament. And in Lord's Day 30, we will deal with the question, who is to come to the table of the Lord? The preparation is discussed, and the question about the admission of hypocrites and those living in sin to the table. So Lord's Day 28 is mainly about the celebration itself. And the first element is that the Lord's Supper is a commemoration meal. In question and answer 77, the Catechism quotes two passages from Paul's letter to the Corinthians describing the historical moment our Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. The first three Gospels in the New Testament talk about this, each in its own way, just before Christ's crucifixion and death. But Paul puts it all together in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 26, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, etc. Paul seeks to emphasize that Jesus' words, do this in remembrance of me. Our confession picks up on this in question and answer 75. Why a remembrance? During the celebration of the Passover meal in Jerusalem, Jesus speaks at the breaking of the bread and a bit later while lifting the third cup of the Passover meal, saying, remember my death. In the Passover celebration, there were four cups. The third cup is the cup of joy, or the cup of blessing, aiming at calling to mind. The Passover celebration was a meal in which God's deliverance of his people from the slavery of Egypt was commemorated and celebrated. This remembrance of what happened at the Passover was more than just a remembering the facts of the event. Instead, it was a reliving of the Exodus from Egypt. It is as if they experienced God's acts of salvation again in person. This is also true for the Lord's Supper. Looking at the bread brings back memories. Jesus emphasizes the remembrance of his cross and victory in bread and wine. He wants us to experience the reality of his death 2,000 years ago. Like holy baptism, the sacrament of Lord's Supper is a sign and a seal. A sign in the sense that it is visible right before your eyes. Broken bread, wine poured into a cup and handed over to you. It is as if you are standing on Golgotha at the foot of the cross, as if you see his eyes looking with love upon you when you hear his words. So when we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are rejoicing that God has declared us worthy, even though we are not worthy. Because of what Christ has done, Christ has turned away God's wrath from us. The Lord's Supper is a festive time to remember that our chains have been broken. We have been liberated from the bondage to sin and hell. The sign signifies the trueness and the reality of our salvation. It is a sign and a seal. By eating this bread and drinking from the cup, I may be sure that his atoning sacrifice also applies to me personally. We often hear the expression, as certain as. This means Christ is so close to me as the crucified and risen Saviour. As I take the bread and drink from the cup, so genuinely may I remember, believe and trust that he personally forgave my sin, that I am his and have eternal life. Personally, isn't this amazing? And this gives us true joy, brothers and sisters. This joy is not just a moment of emotional impulses, a warm, fuzzy feeling, but a continuous and profound experience of true delight in God. It is felt more in your soul than by your facial expression. It is a deep joy no one can take from you. It is a joy that elevates itself in thankful praise. Praise be to you, Christ, that you gave bread and wine to remind me of your incredible power of salvation for me personally. This is the joy of the table gospel. I am saved. We are saved. This table of joy is also worked by, in second place, the unity with our Saviour and his body. This truth is addressed in question and answer 76. It is not only remembering with a believing heart what Christ did for me, us, and faithfully accepting it. No, in the celebration, the living Lord himself comes to us personally through his Spirit. He shares himself and his life with us in the bread and wine. He has communion with us. He gives himself spiritually to us. And we entrust ourselves in faith to him. He is in us and we are in him through the Spirit. You could say this is the heart of the matter, the particular emphasis of this sacrament, true unity with him. We are profoundly united with him at the table through the Holy Spirit, who lives in Christ and lives in us by the Holy Spirit and through faith. With this in mind, we know that Christ is close to us even though he is physically in heaven. He is our host at the table. The celebration of the sacrament not only puts us back at the foot of the cross, but we meet our living Lord in this visual word and this table proclamation. We unite in fellowship with our Lord who fulfilled all Old Testament promises for his people. This includes New Testament promises like, "Behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will return on the clouds." in this communion, in this unity, we are also truly connected as members of a body, of which Christ is the head. A body that is filled and guided by one Spirit. This is an essential aspect of our joyful celebration of this sacrament. It is a meal where different people sit together around the table and share the same bread of life. In our Lord's Supper form, bread and wine, the signs of Christ's body and blood, are also very accurately interpreted as images of the communion between believers. As one bread is baked out of many grains, and one wine is pressed out of many grapes, so we all, incorporated in Christ by faith, are together one body. In the words baked and pressed, you hear something of the difficulty and pressure in which we, individually and together, share in the communion with Christ's suffering and our intense mutual connection. The table gospel gives immense joy. We also look out for each other at the Lord's Supper table, like family at a wedding celebration. We hope and expect that the other will be present too. We realize that Christ gave himself not only to me, but also to others, and thus unites us. He made us a family to care for each other's complete well-being, faith, questions, and sadness, and joy. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and 18, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. But God now has set the members, each of them, in the body, just as he pleased." Like any ordinary meal, we are not sitting down only to fill our stomachs, but we sit down to share the food, to meet, share, and listen to each other. From Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, it appears as if an ordinary meal of members at church preceded the celebration of Lord's Supper. There were some issues with this, and you can read about that in 1 Corinthians. But there is a strong link between regular daily food, bread, and heavenly bread. This first displayed the mutual care and fellowship, but only based on the second, the salvation of Christ. The Lord's Supper bread and wine alluded to the love and care for each other in ordinary life. Brothers and sisters, to enjoy this fellowship with Christ and through him with each other, we consciously look at the bread and wine, and we praise him who loved us so much and thus gave himself to us so that we too can and should love one another. Again, just as with baptism, the question is, do you also have to feel that unity and experience that spiritual unity? Well, yes, it is through faith. But this faith is not a cold, disconnected faith. It is a sincere trust in Christ, an increasing joy of being a member of his body with all the others. As genuinely as we receive with the bread, he truly expresses his nearness to us. Nothing can separate us from him and from each other. Therefore, we are his family. Brothers and sisters, only a stubborn heart would not receive the joy of this reality. If we resist or even block this sincere delight from arising in our hearts, the danger is that we behave like unbelievers. May the confession and the awareness of the table gospel of our unity with Christ and with each other at our next Lord's Supper in 4 weeks' time cause true joy and delight in each one of us. The joy and the delight of the table gospel in the last place is also worked by the expectation of Christ's return. Beloved, the third phrase we hear at the celebration of the Lord's Supper is that of expectation. Paul mentions this in his sacramental teaching in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Are you looking forward to Christ's return? Or do you hope he will return later because you still want to do a few things this week? Or does his return scare you because you are not ready for it? Or does the table gospel cause you to put away your angst and instead long intensely to meet your Saviour in person? Brothers and sisters, let every celebration, Lord's Supper celebration, refresh this expectation. The hope of complete salvation. It is our biggest desire, isn't it? Unfortunately, this aspect of Christ's return is not explicitly covered in the questions and answers of Lord's Day 28. This is remarkable because the time of our confession was written was difficult for many Reformed believers. You could have been burned at the stake for your faith under the Roman Catholic Inquisition. This aspect, though, is somewhat lacking. Yet at the end of answer 76, it is stated that we are assured of eternal life because we forever live and are governed by one Spirit. This expresses great expectation. And his day is coming, even though his kingdom has not yet been revealed completely, even though he is visible in bread and wine, and we recognize and praise him by faith. He is coming in his glorified body. To him belongs all power. And so, pray with even more expectation at the Lord's Supper. Grant us your grace that we may take up our cross joyfully, deny ourselves, and confess our Saviour. In all tribulation, let us await our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come from heaven. Brothers and sisters, our Lord often portrayed the kingdom as a meal or a wedding reception. The same image is used in the last Bible book, as Jews at a Passover meal used to say, until next year in Jerusalem. Similarly, every celebration of the Lord's Supper awakens our joyful expectation until next time in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Isn't this the ultimate joy one can experience? A hardened or ignorant heart at the table or in the pews that is not overflowing with joy he receives from this expectation will not be ready to share eternal happiness in heaven. If you reckon the Lord's Supper is boring, heaven will be a boring place too. So, beloved, with the three words, remembrance, unity, and expectation, the most important has been said about the celebration itself. Of course, we will not always equally intensively experience all three aspects. But in all three elements, Christ comforts, empowers, encourages, and fills us with awe and joy. It also makes a difference under which circumstances we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Where are our thoughts? What is going on in our daily life? Are we experiencing grief or loneliness? It is therefore reasonable to include all three aspects in our celebrations. What else could help us to increase our joy? Prayer, of course. Pray for yourself and for your brothers and sisters before the Lord's Supper celebration. May I give you another tip to enhance the joyful table gospel? Take your book of praise and read along with the form of the Lord's Supper celebrations. You would be better focused. Even if the form feels a bit long, it reminds us of the good reasons to celebrate joyfully. Plus, it allows us to push away critical thoughts on all the outward elements of our celebrations. It creates in us again the desire for the community with Christ and his body. It kindles our expectation for his return at least six times per year, a desire truly and not disruptive or tedious. And young people, boys and girls, and others who may remain seated in the pews when you attentively listen during the Lord's Supper celebration to the Bible reading at each table and sing along, it could also help us refocus and enjoy the celebrations even more. And we don't have to get nervous when there's a bit of silence during the celebration. Instead, ask the Lord quietly to kindle awe, reverence, and praise in your heart. Pray for Christ's Spirit to use the table gospel to strengthen your faith and expectations even more. When you see members sitting at the table with sober facial expressions, don't think that they are grumpy or without joy. A straight face is not the same as a pathetic face. Nobody needs to look overexcited, over-serious, or act like they are. We can be ourselves, happy people who are longing for Christ. In a sense, one could say that somehow we must learn to celebrate the Lord's Supper appropriately. If you still struggle to receive the gospel of the table with joy, share your troubles with your family or elders. They are generally quite encouraging and helpful. The more we recognize psychological barriers and learn to let them go, the more we focus on Christ himself. Then the Holy Supper will remain one of the most joyful events in our worship services throughout the year, and it will ultimately bring more honour and praise to our Lord and Saviour as we prepare ourselves for his return, the judgment of the world, and the marriage feast of the Lamb. To him, our host at the table, be the honour and praise forever. Amen.